Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. If you are one of the roughly 43 million Americans with student loan debt, you didn't have a payment due today. And you haven't had one in a while. That's because last month, President Biden extended the student loan payment moratorium again, this time until August 31st. Those with student loans have been without payments since March 2020, but their average debt, according to Forbes, is almost $29,000. And since this pause isn't forever, at least for now, they'll soon be paying it again. Unless someone does something, and Williams College is. It is turning all of its financial aid into grants, no loans, and students will no longer have to hold a job to qualify. The change starts with next fall's class, and Liz Creighton, Dean of Admissions and Student Financial Services at Williams College in Williamstown, joins us to talk about it. Liz, welcome to Radio Boston.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So, Liz, you're the first institution in the country to do the whole package, all grants and no work requirements. So how does this work for students?
Yeah, so as you said, effective this coming fall of 2022, we will offer a financial aid program that provides every bit of financial aid in the form of grants that don't need to be paid back. So students won't have to take out loans. They won't have to have a work study job on campus during the year. And they also won't be expected to work in the summer and contribute from what they've earned during those summer jobs back to the cost of college. So we're investing about $6 million new dollars into our financial aid budget in order to make this possible for all of our students who receive financial aid.
So why now, Liz? And can you kind of scope out for us, what does this mean financially for your average student? What do these numbers look like?
Sure. Yeah. So first, your question of why now, you know, Williams has for a long time been focused as one of our sort of primary values as an institution on making Williams accessible to students from a wide range of backgrounds and then making sure it's affordable for them once they get in. But more recently, we've been focused on this idea that we're calling true affordability, which is not just about making it possible for students to come here, but once they're here, making sure that every student, no matter their family's resources, can avail themselves of all of the opportunities that exist at a place like this. So internships and research opportunities and the chance to study abroad. And so we've really been working on building out our financial aid program to address the things that many colleges think about, like tuition and room and board, but also some of the hidden costs that can oftentimes trip families up.
Like what? What's a hidden cost that can trip
sure.
a family up?
One of the first ones that comes to mind is the cost of textbooks. You know, students get to college, all of a sudden they have this opportunity to take courses, you know, across, in the case of Williams, 65 different academic departments. And we want to make sure that students aren't selecting the courses that they take based on how much textbooks will cost. And so we cover the full cost of textbooks for all financial aid students.
And to put it in perspective, Liz, my understanding is tuition, room, board fees, just under $79,000 per year for a Williams student. Is that right?
That's right.
So one of the interesting things about this, I understand that there are some other universities who have worked in this area of changing loans to grants, but this work requirement thing, which you explained a minute ago, is different. I understand it must make sense to do that in terms of giving students the opportunity to have the full college experience. But what about students who have to work to pay their way through who aren't receiving these grants, or the idea that working in college is part of preparing for adulthood after college?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd agree with all of those things. And, you know, just to give you a sense at Williams, historically, about 75% of students work on campus, and that's true across all of our students. So both students who receive financial aid, as well as other students who aren't on financial aid. And so we agree that work is a really important part of the college experience. It's a great extension of things that students are learning in the classroom. It provides really good preparation for life after college. And so we have every expectation that many students will continue working, even though we won't require them to. The difference now is that they get to choose the work dynamic that makes the most sense for them. So they can choose how much they work. And perhaps more importantly, they can choose what they do with that money. So we know that many students work and send money back to their families to help offset costs at home. Many of them take some of what they earn to help their parents for the parent portion of what they've been asked to pay for college. So we have every expectation that students will continue to be engaged in the community and lots of different work experiences. But we have just been really focused on giving them the opportunity to find a work dynamic that supports all the goals they have for college.
So, Liz, in preparing for this conversation, we reached out to our listener base. And Praveen in Brookline is part of our Radio Boston texting group. We asked him, our listeners, about their experiences. He said, quote, "I went to medical school over 20 years ago, and I'm still paying off my loans. $250,000 was the starting point, and I'm down to $80,000. Now, Praveen told us more than that, but I imagine somebody who's looking at a debt profile like that, and obviously medical school is beyond just undergraduate, would feel tremendous relief. So what are you hearing from your students? And what about the students who didn't get this so far? What are you hearing from them, too?
Yeah, the announcement has been met with just broad enthusiasm and excitement, both for the students who will still be here next year and will benefit from it, but even from our current seniors who are graduating, who I think just are taking a lot of pride in the fact that Williams is the first institution to do this. And, you know, we've been in a fortunate position here. Typically about 30% of Williams graduates took out loans at some point during their 4 years. And you mentioned at the start that the national average right now is right around $30,000 for debt at graduation. The average among Williams students in the past has been about $12,000. So we've always taken a lot of pride in keeping the average indebtedness for our students quite low. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that we've been focused on other things, as I said, like the cost of textbooks in our financial aid program. But, you know, I think certainly this gives the students will benefit from this over the in the future at Williams. And then prospective students who are thinking about college, the flexibility to imagine a different kind of college experience, in which loan debt and the burden of having to work are not part of the equation. And so we're really excited about that and about the amazing students it'll bring to Williams as a result.
Yeah, it's not hard to imagine that this makes you more competitive. Just before I let you go, just in a sentence, how do you keep this up? How do you sustain this? Things get more expensive every year.
They do. You know, we're in the position to be able to do this because of truly generations of remarkable support from alumni at Williams. And that is a sort of core part of the Williams experience. And we're confident that will remain the case going forward. And also because of really careful stewardship of our endowment over many years. So, we have taken good care of the generous resources we've been able to collect over the years. And we're excited about the ability to put those into use for our students.
All right. Liz Creighton is Dean of Admissions and Student Financial Services at Williams College in Williamstown, Massachusetts. Liz, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And listeners, we'd like you to join our texting group, just like Praveen in Brookline did, so you can tell us your stories. To get started, text the word BOSTON to 617-766-0382. That's BOSTON to 617-766-0382. So with us in studio now, WBUR education reporter Max Larkin. Welcome back, Max.
Thanks for having me back.
So first, just reactions to what you just heard.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like good news, certainly, for the people who'll graduate from Williams in the year ahead. And it does also feel like not a death rattle, but a sort of sign of alarm about the institution of the student loan, I think. There's just, because of those high numbers, $79,000, it does raise a question of how long we can go on like this.
And I mean, the price tag there, $6 million for them to do this coming year. And we know tuition goes up. So is this replicable by larger colleges and universities even? Are others going to do that? Or are there challenges that Williams doesn't have that others will?
There are certainly challenges that other places would have. There are kind of diverse number of species in the higher ed ecosystem, right? And Williams is one of these apex kind of elite wealthy schools. They've got more than $1 million set aside for each of the undergraduates that are on campus at any given time. There are only a few others who can say the same. It's Harvard, it's MIT, it's Amherst College. And those schools can afford to do something on this pattern, and many have or are continuing to do so. But then most institutions fall outside of that group, sometimes by a long, long distance. And for them, it'd be harder. You know, at Williams, she mentioned the median student debt burden is around $11,000. At even kind of big, venerable schools, Holy Cross, Brandeis, BU, it's more than twice as large. And meanwhile, they have a research arm that they have to service and usually, you know, all the complexities that come with being a university. So it gets that much harder the bigger you get.
So you mentioned Harvard, Amherst. What are they doing and who else is trying to crack this nut in Massachusetts?
I think Harvard should get some credit for kind of trying to kick off this wave. They had the Harvard Financial Aid Initiative, which is 15, 16, 17 years old now. That was the announcement in 2004 under then-President Larry Summers, who, you know, that any family that earned less than $65,000, their students could come to Harvard for free. And under $85,000, I think, students didn't have to pay very much. Ever since, they've been sort of raising that income threshold, Tiziana. So there are more and more families that don't have to pay to attend. But they do still give out loans. And you have wealthy students who are paying full freight. And then just back in October, Amherst College, which is sort of Williams' closest competitor, I would think, their analog in the state, they made attending tuition free for people from the lowest income 80% of American households. So that was a $71 million investment.
That's
so that was big news too. But you know, Tiziana, I can feel like this game of sort of generosity poker that only these, you know, sort of whales, big wealthy schools can play, and here Williams is throwing their chips in.
Right. So to that point, I was thinking about this as I was reading the story. We did a lot of coverage. You were on our air about it earlier in the pandemic and before, as we saw a number of small liberal arts colleges, smaller institutions, go out of business. And now we see a small institution taking these kinds of big financial steps. How do we square that circle?
Well, I use that species word advisedly. It's an ecosystem, and it can feel like Darwinian at times. So you think about places like Amherst and Williams. They have a ton of appeal already. Beautiful campuses, small classes, and you know, graduates can expect to earn on average $80,000 or $90,000 a year 10 years after they graduate. And now there's the fact that it's going to be even cheaper, if not free, to attend. It's just another draw. But then again, it's a 1 in 10 chance of getting into those schools. At another school that isn't as selective and isn't as wealthy, you know, there's a balancing act where you want to try to keep up with these really prestigious, really affordable schools. You know, you may be excellent, but you just aren't in this kind of ideal situation to make these kind of trade-offs. And I think that, you know, you remember Mount Ida closing now 3 or 4
yes.
years ago. Even a small drop-off in the number of enrollees that you get in the fall can mean like a fatal financial blow.
So speaking of drop-offs, the other thing reported, you know, early in the pandemic were fewer applications for student loans. So what are we seeing now? Is that continuing or what's the trend lately?
Yeah, you had the numbers fell off a cliff a year and two ago. 7% decline February 2020 to February 2021. And that doesn't mean just that people aren't borrowing. It means largely that they've deferred college or sort of not doing it in the middle of the pandemic. Now, it's down again this February. It's down by 2%, though, you know, more of a dip than a plunge. So it does feel, though, like an enrollment officer's kind of worst nightmare. We're long time worried about the graying, aging population of this state, dwindling number of young people ready to go to college. And then the financial situation for many families is so uncertain that they might still be forestalling this and maybe unlikely to come back.
All right. So President Biden extended this moratorium until August. He's under tremendous pressure, including inside his own party, to do something more permanent to forgive student loan debt. What are you watching over these next couple months?
Well, I mean, it feels like he almost has to forgive $10,000 worth of student debt. It was a campaign trail promise. And it would be a victory for, as you said, Tiziana, you know, Massachusetts legislators like Ayanna Pressley and Elizabeth Warren, who've been pushing hard for that. With that said, people have pointed out repeatedly that that would mean attacking a symptom and not the cause, namely the high and fast rising cost of college. So schools may try to follow Williams, Amherst, and Harvard and try to cut or limit the cost of attending. And that would, you know, negate, if not, you know, or minimize the debt burden that they create. But as we've said, you know, if they don't do that, it'll just start to metastasize again. And trying to follow Williams Amherst here would mean financial risk for schools that just don't have the means to do that.
Well, we will watch alongside you, WBUR education reporter Max Larkin. Max, thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.